Good evening. Tonight, Lyndall and I are going to focus on metta, which is the foundation, the seed out of which all the Brahma Viharas are expressed, depending on different contexts. So metta is a basic quality of friendliness. It's called loving kindness, but it's a quality that loving, the word loving has a quite loaded, especially in our society. So we can get close to it in a lot of ways. So friendliness is a way, warmth, appreciation. You have a chart that I handed out, kindness, just general basic goodwill. These are all qualities of the heart. And metta is the foundation quality. In different contexts, the other Brahma Viharas, compassion, which is also called karuna in Pali, sympathetic or appreciative joy, which is called mudita, and equanimity, upekkha. These are all forms of metta, but they come up in different contexts. So one teacher, Gil Fronstall, who is the head of the IMS in Redwood City, California, describes our heart as a four-faced heart. And he says that metta is basic goodwill towards self and others. And when suffering moves us, so that's a specific context, karuna or compassion is expressed as the wish for that suffering to end. And when joy delights us, mudita, our appreciative joy, is the wish for joy, the joy of others to continue. Excuse me, sympathetic joy is the wish for the joy of others to continue. Appreciative joy is the wish to feel gratitude for our own joy. Upekkha is equanimity, and that is the wish that we ourselves would not become agitated in the midst of life's ever-changing conditions, while keeping our hearts open and responsive. So that's just kind of a big picture of the interrelationship of the four Brahma Viharas. The goal of our practice in general is to awaken, to be free. And the Brahma Viharas help us do this. We need to develop the innate capacities inside us, and the Brahma Viharas, metta, it's inside us, and our job is to get in touch with it and help it grow. Because life is characterized by impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, and not self, we're kind of conditioned to turn away from the true situation we're in. And we don't really want to see that unpleasantness or feel that uncomfortableness. And we seek something more pleasant. It's kind of natural. Then we not only seek it, we want to hold on to it. And when we see something that's not pleasant, we want to push it away. The heart practices are called divine abodes because they're places we can live in peace from the conditions that no matter what condition comes, the Brahma Viharas help us find peace amidst the changing conditions. Not necessarily a pleasant state, but it's a peaceful state. An ability to equanimity, for example, there can be the joys and sorrows of life, but there's a certain stability in equanimity. So we start with what's easiest and what's most familiar. So even with the best of intentions, we run into hindrances on our way to liberation. And if you look at the chart here, we're just going to focus today on metta. And so the top chart shows the qualities that I've just discussed: friendliness, kindness, goodwill, warmth. Often, though, we run into aversion, dislike, and preferences. That's pretty common, that we would like to have this friendliness, kindness, goodwill, or warmth, but that isn't what happens. We find out, whoa, I prefer this. I don't like that. So we need to pay attention to that. That's part of the, because that's suffering. That's the beginning of suffering. And if we don't pay attention to it, we can get the near enemy is we think that I'll go to something I like and it's pleasant and I'm happy. And it's kind of like, oh, this is good. I'm going to make my life filled with things that are comfortable and pleasant, and I'll be happy and I'll be nice to other people. But that is, that doesn't quite work out. So that's why it's a near enemy. It's kind of like, we've got to look at that. And then the far enemy is hatred, which we don't want to admit probably that we have some of that sometimes. If we don't pay attention to our aversion, our dislike, and our preference, it can get extreme. So this is kind of the big picture of the quality that we're trying to cultivate, which is the warmth of our heart, connection with our heart. But we can go down, if we don't pay attention to these other things, the things that are also there, we can get off the path. So it's kind of a slippery slope. It can be. But the way to our goal to connect with our heart and to connect with wisdom is the way through the difficult situation. And metta helps us be with that. Buddha said, I teach suffering and the end of suffering. The Eightfold Path is the Buddha's answer to the end of suffering, but we have to get close to that suffering to really see it, penetrate it, and to really know, oh, this is suffering. This is suffering. And I don't know if you've ever had that experience that you have a situation and you think that it's leading to happiness and contentment and you're pretty attached to it. And then you're thrown into seeing that it's impermanent, it's tied to the ego, or it's, superficial, it changes. And finally you say, whoa, this is suffering. And when you actually see the suffering, this really is suffering, you can let it go. But you have to get close enough to it to see that. And these are usually habits set in motion unconsciously, which we mistakenly think that it's taking us toward happiness and fulfillment. You know, like, I'll give you a really lighthearted one, but it's pretty concrete. Oh, this donut is really, really good. It makes me feel happy. And I had a really hard day, and I deserve this. And I'm going to get two on my way home. This is true. I used to do this after work. I'd go by the bakery, and I've always loved donuts. And I had a rough day, and I just thought, if I have this donut, this is what I want. This is going to make me happy and comfortable, and I deserve it because I suffered today. And then I go home and I turn the TV on and I watch Mystery and I eat my donut, and I'm really happy for, you know, maybe 30 minutes or something like that. And I used to feel this was self-compassion. Before I started meditating, this was kind of the way I would be under stress, and I would do things like that. Or I would say, oh, it's time to plan another trip. And I will just, you know, focus my mind on the happiness and how great everything was going to be when I went on this trip. But metta practice takes us in a different kind of taking care of ourselves. And it's the kind of feeling, oh, this is the way it is right now. A letting go of needing more. And once you start doing that, I think we feel it when we meditate a little bit, because we let go when we meditate and we get in touch with ourselves. And we realize we do have a heart. It's not just a mind. We start seeing that, and we start feeling a different set of values, a different feeling of what actually brings contentment and happiness. So we learn to say, this is the way it is right now, even in uncomfortable and stressful and suffering too. Oh, this is the way it is right now. And we start to see that that pleasantness and that, you know, distraction and that entertainment and that kind of a goal of something off in the future that's going to satisfy us. We start to see that that, you know, it's starting to look not so satisfying. So even when conditions are difficult, we can find calm. And in metta practice, as we develop it, and you're going to have a chance in a few minutes to do that with Lyndall, have some experience with that, we learn of a different kind of calm and peace and connection that doesn't need the outside conditions to be perfect or pleasant. In the Karaniya Heart Sutta, the Buddha says, and this is the sutta that he gave to the monks many, many years ago, when they were in a lot of fear because they were trying to camp out in a forest and the evil spirits in the form of monkeys were scaring them, because the monkeys were scared of them and they were scared of the monkeys, and they left and they asked the Buddha, what should we do? We're really, you know, anxious and upset and stressed. And he said, I give you this sutta. And this is just an excerpt. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path to peace. Wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease. Even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living things. So in the midst of fear, in confronting their enemies in the forest, the Buddha sent them back with that chant, that prayer, and they went back in the forest, and lo and behold, the spirits were calmed because they weren't receiving hate and fear. They were now receiving love and kindness, and they stayed in the forest, and the spirits in the forest did not, you know, said, okay, we'll share the forest with you. So that's kind of a story of the power of metta. And it can be used in times of fear, and it can be used in times of anxiety, and it can be used just in an everyday situation where you want to be connected to your life. You want to be, you want to accept what is there, but you want to, and you want to be able to face it if it's challenging. And you want to be in touch with yourself. And the Buddha said that if you went around the world, you could not find anyone more deserving of your love than yourself. So we always start with where we are in metta practice. And it's not something that, you know, it comes to fruition overnight. It's a practice of inclining the mind and heart toward the seed of metta, which already exists within us. And this practice encourages its growth. And we always start where we are because we need to love ourselves, you know, and we need to be connected to our own heart to be able to develop it. Ultimately, it is boundless. And someone like the Dalai Lama, I often like to look towards because he's such an embodiment of that acceptance of everybody. And there's three quotes I really like that he said. He's very, you know, down to earth. He says, this is my little piece of paper here. You can feel compassion regardless of whether you view the other person as a friend or an enemy. It is based on the other's fundamental right rather than your own mental projection. So everyone, he believes, has the right to be treated with love and respect. And of course, starting with ourselves. And a story that I have of my experience with metta is that I have quite a bit of a performance anxiety, and I had a new job, and I had even more performance anxiety, and I was just really worried about failing and goofing up and looking bad, and I had this terrible critical voice inside, so I made a phrase to repeat to myself to help me in this situation, and it was, may I be free from the suffering, may I be free from the tyranny of my inner critic. And that's the way I felt. I just felt like this critic was a tyrant and was just like beating me up. And that was a couple of years ago. And I just said that for a while, and I don't remember how long I said it. But, you know, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 months ago, I thought, oh, I don't say that anymore because it's not there anymore. And to me, that's just an example of it's inclining the mind. You know, I didn't think that I would be able to get rid of that voice when I started. But I just did it because I had faith, you know, that this practice works. And even when I was still beating myself up, I just had more faith than I had in believing that. I knew that would happen. It just happens that, you know, when you go to fight something, it usually fights back. So you don't expect to have loving feelings all the time. And probably when you go into the metta practice, you start having these other feelings coming up, you know, the ones on the chart. You know, like maybe, you know, there was some self-hatred in that critic. So, I mean, those things do come up. But because we persist with the metta, it helps us stay with it and incline the mind. And the Buddha says whatever you incline the mind toward, that will increase the frequency of that behavior. So I am going to turn it over to my friend here, Lyndall, because the Buddha always said that you need to see for yourself. So we're going to give you a chance to practice with metta right now.